हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनभुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधि चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
So in relationship to the Dham. Vaishnavas have no selfish desires they expect the Dham to fulfill, nor do they have sins to unload here. They know that the places of the Lord's pastimes, the temples and deities, devotional service, devotees and devotional paraphernalia, and all the times and circumstances thereof are transcendental. Because otherwise, what we're saying, you know, means we're discussing before, the Smartas, they're looking at it that the Dham is the place where I'm going to get piety, therefore fulfill my desires, I'm going to purify myself of my sins, so therefore I'll enjoy more. And then all the different particular timings, places, situations, interactions are all based on the principle that I will materially benefit. Right? I'll improve the quality of my piety, therefore I will improve my benefit. Right, but for the Vaishnavas, they're not looking at that aspect. It says it's transcendental, so it's the spiritual element that's there. These others are there, but that's not why the Vaishnavas are interested or interacting with the Dham. Right? It's because of the the transcendental. They understand they're there to do service, right? Rather than get benefit, one's trying to do service. Does that make sense? Yeah. Mahaprasadam is honorable even if it drops on the ground from the mouth of a hog. Lord Chaitanya was very pleased with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya when he accepted prasadam upon just rising from bed, right? He didn't get up, go wash, brush his teeth, take bath. He just accepted it. You know, it's not a full meal. He's just taking some Mahaprasad, right? Sarvabhauma took the role of a smarta brahmana in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes to show this community that their only salvation is the association of the pure devotee. So he's someone who knows the Shastras, who knows everything. And so then he is... he knows everything. And he's setting an example of how then that next stage of devotee, right, of Vaishnava. Because Brahmana is the top within the human society. So we're not saying that the smart is not the top in the human society. It's just the point is then human society is meant for Krishna consciousness. So you want to go to that next stage of devotion. Because that's what understanding Brahman is for, is actually the relationship with the Lord. Right? That's what one's actually trying to do. Right? Okay. And that's going to come from devotees. Right? It's not going to come on its own. That's what I said before. Just by reading, you're not going to get this. You have to have the association. Right? Means the reading is association. You have that kind of faith and all that. But it's not that that's just all one requires. One looks for that association. Not that I'm reading, I don't need to associate with devotees. That should be avoided. It's a matter of I'm reading, and so I'm getting association there, and then I practice that in the association of others. Does that make sense? You know? Like that. So both are required. Oh. I put it here. I was thinking, well, okay. Okay? That's... So Okay, so we understand. So that's then the smartas means they're this say properly situated. They're following nicely the rules and regulations. The problem is they think the following the rules and regulations is what gives the results, right? Because the results they want are material. You follow a rule, it will give a particular result. But the point is it's devotion to Krishna what one's looking for. That's the actual purpose of the ritual, right? So the ritual is a medium for expression of that devotion to the Lord. Now, if one doesn't use it that one way, one uses it simply for getting that material result, that's a mistake. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, let us say, okay, I feel like eating something nice, right? But cooking for yourself, that's not recommended. One who cooks for oneself, it is not, you know, Manu is saying then, you know, just cooking to fulfill one's desires, then that's not good. Okay, so, but I want to eat something really nice, something special. So therefore, but now, inviting devotees over to the, you know, or dividing Brahmins over to the house, then it's something special. So therefore, I can cook nicely because of that, right? So therefore, I'm inviting people over, I'm taking care, cooking very nicely, just so that I get something good to eat. You understand? But he's cooked nicely, he's served the Brahmins like that, he's, you know, take care of them nicely, they're satisfied, so he's gotten all the piety from that. But the point is did he actually get association of Vaishnavas? You understand? Because that wasn't the point. The point was just to get that piety, you know, so that he would benefit and to get something nice to eat. So that he got. But that's not actually the point of it. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So that's the same thing as with all other rules, is that they're there for reciprocal interaction with Vaishnavas and the Lord. You know, to express that devotion. That's why it's there. But if we miss that point and we simply do it just for the material benefits we'll get, right? Then that's you miss the point. You think it's just the rule and the benefits I'll get. That's the smarta. You understand? It's a mentality. It's taking the pious materialism to the, you know, the extreme. Right? The point is the piousness is for engaging in the Lord's service. That's why it says, perform your duty. Because what your duty is, that's pious. Right? Doing someone else's duty, that's not pious. Right? Because that benefit is not the one you're supposed to be getting. Right? Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, or let's say I invite everybody over for the lunch. You know, make all nice arrangements, all the nice thing, but because my point is that, you know, I want to eat and all that. So having done that, then I sit everybody down, put the food in the middle of the table and say, dig in, you know, because then I can eat also, right? I don't have to wait, you know, serve them all, take care, this and that, chit-chat, you know, maybe they'll rest and see them off, and then after that I can eat. No, I can eat immediately. You understand? So, because that's then doing someone else's duty. No, your duty to serve, their duty to eat. You understand? Mm-hmm. So that's the thing. When you do someone else's duty, then you lose something. That's the difficulty. Does that make sense? So the idea of the smart is that he's following the rules because he thinks the rules themselves are what's going is the actual benefit. No, that's only the medium. Right? It's like the boy, let's say, he goes to the girl's house, he brings some nice flowers, right? But it's not about giving the girl the flowers, it's just he likes the smell of the flowers, and since he's going to be at her house, you know, it'd be nice to have that aroma of flowers there. You understand? That's a smarta. They missed the point. The ritual was done. He gave it nicely, did all the things that you're supposed to do, but the point is the benefit of, you know, smelling the nice flowers. Yes, and yes.
Maharaj, I know one temple in our movement where for festivals, all the servers, they honor prasad before any of the guests arrive, because previously they were finding that they would be hesitant to serve more prasad because they were self-conscious it would run out. So now they either make the plates or take prasad first, and now they serve very liberally, and everyone.
It's like this. Let us say, now let's take the standard thing of, let's say, the gentleman, he has a daughter, okay? And so then he naturally, out of affection for the daughter, makes nice arrangements for the marriage and, you know, so many things like that. And, you know, gives nice facilities for her to take to her new house and everything like that, right? Wouldn't we take that as standard? Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, but what is that based on? What's the basis of being inspired to do that?
The culture and the affection for the
Yes,
family.
The love, the affection. Okay. Now, let us say we look at it that, one, this is going to be so much trouble, like the girl's going to go away and she's going to have to spend so much money on her. Okay? Then what's then what is the thought? After the child's born, you go out into the sand dune and kind of put her over there and come back. Oh, I don't know what happened. You know, the wind blew, the sands, I lost her. Right? Okay. So now, then what does the Acharya say? Okay. Then he invokes the Asura marriage, which is not recommended ever for humans to use. That is, that the boys, they come to the girl, they want to marry the girl, and so therefore the boy side of the family gives lots of money, you know, according to the prestige of the family and the qualities of the girl, then, you know, they give more and more money. So then it's a prestige, yes, our daughter was, you know, like that, we got this much money, you know, like this and that, right? Okay, so now, now the family looks at it, instead of money will go out with the daughter, money will come in with the daughter. Okay, so now how will they deal with the daughter? Very nicely. You understand? Mm-hmm. So in other words, if the point is Vaishnavas should be served nicely. Mm-hmm. So therefore, if the culture is absolutely not there, then better they eat before and serve the Vaishnavas nicely. Mm-hmm. They'll get more benefit than sitting there and grumbling that, you know, it's like this and I'm hungry and whether anything can be left or, you know, this and that. So it is better, but it's not a standard. Mm-hmm. Just like the Asura marriage is not a standard. But if you're dealing with that mentality, then better the Asura marriage than trying to do the Brahma and, you know, end up burying your daughter in the sand.
You understand?
Yeah, so that's the important thing in when one is dealing with time, place, and circumstances for the time, place, and circumstance. Mm-hmm. You know, they say, oh, we're being practical. Yes, it is practical. But the point is that practical is, you know, substandard, but that's what you got. That is the time, place, and circumstance. Mm-hmm.
Right.
You understand?
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Does that make sense? You know, tradition is, you've made the arrangements, you've cooked everything, you serve everything, you clean up everything, then you eat. Mm-hmm. So here all they're having to do is walk in and serve. So they don't even have to do all the others. We're not even asking them to wash the pots, then eat. We're saying after you finish serving, eat. Mm-hmm. Right? So, but if you can't do any of that, then you eat first, okay. But don't call it a standard and say, no, this is good or this or that. Yes, if you're dealing with lack of culture, then yes, it is good. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Because the point is, what's the point of serving prasad? The Vaishnavas are pleased. So if the Vaishnavas are pleased, great, then do it. Mm-hmm. You know? But don't try to institutionalize it. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Otherwise, then you're limiting yourself to a time when people are like that, and then as they mature and get purified, as the movement expands, then you'll find yourself kind of out on the fringes, because everybody else is not about to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
So Maharaj, it's not that Brahmanas, they don't want to become devotee of Krishna.
It's not that they don't want to become, it's that they don't know. It's like, let's say, I think it was King Riga, right? And also Maharaj Puchina Bharhishad, both of them. Very dedicated karmakandis, right? Very big and, you know, liberal rituals. And everything. you know, big charity, all the pious things. But all they had was the association of smartas, so they didn't know that there was more. You know? So the point is that by coming in contact with the pure devotees, then if they take up devotional service, then there's that option, either there was a sincerity to know, or there's that innocence that they could know. But if someone doesn't want, then either they won't come in contact, or when they do, then they'll ignore it. This is innocence, yeah. Okay, so now we move on to... Could you just for this redo the numbering?
You mean instead of four?
Yeah, it means put three and put the introduction not as one.
Zero.
Okay. Yeah. Just introduction. But okay. Then we know, because otherwise it's like we're dealing with the fourth group of Upasampradaya, but it's only the third one.
Sure.
But at the same time, we may feel bad. You could put 12 here, you know, if I started that. You know, smart to start 156. You could always do that. So Tamar said, sometimes they do that when they start a club and stuff like that. And so the first memberships they give out, they start with big numbers, you know, even though that's the first one, but they start out with a six-figure number, you know, like that, you know. So then you feel like, yeah, lots of people. There's only three guys. Right? You know, okay, so Prakriti Sahajya, cheap pseudo devotees, says was mentioned by the compiler that an organized, you know, the author here that, you know, now it'll get down to something we may more be able to relate to, right? You know, dropping down from the mode of goodness, now we can kind of relate with these modes a little better, right? You know? Quote, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur suggests that people who are materialistically inclined and sahajyas, or so-called Vaishnavas who take everything very cheaply, are both vishayi, materialists. Okay, so he's saying materialistically inclined and the sahajyas who take everything cheaply, they're both materialists. Eating food offered by them causes contamination. And as a result of such contamination, even a serious devotee becomes like a materialistic man. There are six kinds of association: giving charity, accepting food, offering food, talking confidentially, and inquiring confidentially. One should very carefully avoid association with both the sahajyas, who are sometimes known as Vaishnavas, and the non-Vaishnavas, or avaishnavas. So here is that, in other words, association means these: giving charity, accepting food, offering food, talking confidentially, and inquiring confidentially. These are what one does with Vaishnavas. Yes.
Offering food? We should be careful.
It means here is that it's more the receiving.
Yeah.
You have to be careful about charity. But point is, prasad can be given to everyone, but you have to be careful as though you don't get, it's very formal, the serving of prasad. You know, but in other words, distributing prasad, that's one thing to be given to everybody, but then to deal as if the person is very elevated and things like that. In other words, they're not given the facility of a titi.
Yeah.
Right? Because a titi means qualified Brahman who everything stops to take care of them. You know, it means they're just worked into the normal scene that would be there.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Yeah.
So you wouldn't invite them into your home.
Necessarily, maybe not in the... It means they wouldn't take with you. They would, where you formally would serve prasad for those who are not, you know, connected with the family, you would do that there.
Okay.
Of course, in the modern scenario, you don't have those outer verandas and sitting areas and stuff like that. Because the normal thing is you have the outside, which is on the road, you know, which means it's, you know, within the house, but it's an open veranda. You know, just be like this. There was a wall here. That part out there, that's the road and all that. But you have nice sitting areas and places and things. So guests that come off the road can sit there. You can talk to them or, you know, some business or some laborers or just somebody comes by asking questions or, you know, like that. Or a beggar, you can deal with them there. Then you have the next room in, which is swing, this and that, where you can take part in that kind of thing, but at the same time, it's less. You can keep facilities for that. It's kind of connected. It's the house can access it, but at the same time the outside can't, but you can go from there to the outside. Then from there the house starts. That's your traditional Brahmin house.
Today we have the adults table and the kids table.
and even that's kind of going out. It's just like, I mean, I never knew about that, but my father told me about it. He said, until you're 12, you don't move to the adults table, right? And he said when he moved to the adults table, there's so many more preparations he never knew about, right? You know, because the kids only get the ones you know they'll eat, right? You know, so then he moved out. Wow, hey, you know, so yeah, he grew up. That's more European kind of.
There's not so much difference between the two, so it goes up.
That's true. Yeah, then the consideration, are they big children or little adults? You know, so, you know, you're trying to go about, you know. Yeah, okay. So overly big children who think they're adults.
Yes.
Okay. Their association changes the transcendental devotional service of Lord Krishna into sense gratification. And when sense gratification enters the mind of a devotee, he is contaminated. The materialistic person who aspires after sense gratification cannot properly think of Krishna. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Anti Lila, 6278 purport. Okay, so now this would mean also your materialists here can mean pious Vedic, like the Smartas, or just, you know, your general materialist, like that. So in other words, it doesn't matter, is pious, not pious, this, that, they're nice guys or not, it's contaminating. So one should be very, very careful. The word sahaja, natural, simple, normal, has two connotations in Vaishnav literatures. Tracing these can help us see more clearly the crux of the sahajya deviation. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna uses the word sahaja in reference to material nature. Sahajam karma konteya sadosham api natyajet sarva rambha hidoshena dhumen agni agnir iva vrita. Every endeavor is covered by some fault, just as fire is covered by smoke. Therefore, one should not give up the work born of his nature, O son of Kunti, even if such work is full of fault. Right? We can think, well, I can do something else more perfectly. Why? Then what's the point? Is that the social prestige or the particular benefits? No, one performs one's own duty, because that's where you're going to learn something. Right? Your own duty is in line with your nature. So the difficulties that come with it, or the benefits that come with it, you'll actually be able to use properly in a Krishna conscious light. Right, other things, then it will be applied wrong. Here the word sahajam means born of material nature. This refers to human sense activities, which is said to be sadosha, faulty. Despite this, Lord Krishna says we should not renounce activities. Right? It's a matter of the activity isn't the problem, it's the consciousness. So the tendency is we do our activities with the wrong consciousness. So now it's a matter of changing the consciousness and continuing the same activities. Right? Because the activities that are there are things that we can naturally do. We'll do them very nicely. Right? We'll do them very well. But this does not mean that we should engage in material sense activities. Right? Because material means the sensual engagement is for yourself. Spiritual means the sensual engagement is for the Lord, right? That's the difference between devotional and sense gratification. Sense gratification is you're engaging the senses for your own purpose. Devotional service means engagement of the senses in the service of the senses of the Lord. Does that make sense? So the idea that sense gratification, so devotional service means no senses. Because right, we'll take sense gratification as just engaging the senses. No, sense gratification means in the engagement of the senses, you're doing it to please yourself, not Krishna. So therefore, the Krishna is recommending these duties remain, the engagement of the senses remains. You want to change the consciousness. Very important. Otherwise, we think devotional service means giving up engagement of the senses. But that's what the Mayavadi's idea is. Right? If engaging the senses is material, then spiritual means not engaging the senses. So you have to be careful not to make that mistake. Because that's also apasampradaya. But that's your Vedic apasampradaya. Right? So these are specifically Gaudiya distractions. So it means they're mixed with those things. You know, with Mayavad and all these things. Otherwise, how are they getting that? Like the Smarta, very nice lifestyle, but mixed with the Mayavad concept. Right? And mixed with karma. So a very interesting combination. Right? You know, they got the worst of both. Yeah. Right? You know, like that. The impersonal perspective of the jnani, you know, but the faith and material endeavor of the karma. Right? So it's a bad combination, but very sattvic, like that. But this does not mean that we should engage in material sense activities. Two verses earlier, Krishna declares, by worship of the Lord, who is the source of all beings, and who is all-pervading, a man can attain perfection through performing his own work. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada stresses the following points. Quote, the Supreme Lord is the beginning of all living entities. As part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, one has his duty to render service unto the Supreme. And everyone should think that he is engaged in a particular type of occupation by Rishikesh, the master of the senses. Right? So, yeah. Supreme Lord is the beginning of all living entities. That means if he's the beginning of all living entities, right, you're going to see elements of the cause and the effect. Right? So if human beings, the cause is the Supreme Lord, then the effect is the human beings will have qualities of the cause in them. So what those qualities, that means the effect that you see, that's what you're attracted to. Right? So what we're attracted to are the qualities of Krishna, it means the original cause. We're not attracted by the actual dead matter. Right? We're attracted by the elements of the dead matter that are in Krishna. Right? Right? His quality, his attractiveness, his beauty, his fame, his knowledge, his renunciation, his power, right? Wealth, these are what we're attracted to. So those are Krishna, just everybody has them in some minute ability, minute amount. Does that make sense? Like that. So that's what you're attracted to. So that's why it's important. He's the beginning of all living entities. Therefore, what you're attracted to in the living entity is still Krishna. It doesn't change. It's not, no, now it's the living entities. And then we don't have to worry about Krishna, right? As part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, one has his duty to render service unto the Supreme. Therefore, it's our business to render service to the Supreme. And so, we're going to do that through being engaged in a particular occupation by the Lord, the master of the senses. So, living entities we're engaged with, they're coming from Rishikesh, and we're rendering that service back to Rishikesh. So that interaction with others is the medium through which we're going to serve the Lord. Right? So we're doing our duties, and that way we're serving the Lord. They're doing their duties and serving the Lord. Otherwise, I think I'm doing my duties getting my benefit. They're doing their duties getting their benefit. The point is you're benefited by connecting it to the Lord. Then you're benefiting. Otherwise, I'm doing it only to get what I want. So it'll be very shallow. It won't be real. But I'm doing it to please the Lord. Then it has substance. Otherwise, then it's not very real. You know what I'm saying? But does that make sense? The people are on the stage, are performing their drama. Now, if they're trying to do their part nicely and cooperate together and do their part, what they're supposed to, it comes out very nice. But if everybody's on the stage profiling and trying to, you know, make themselves prominent, it's not a good drama. It just is not. You understand? So that's the problem. When you're performing your duties for your own benefit, then it doesn't come out very well. No one's very satisfied. Of course, everyone has their crocodile grins, everyone sits around and, you know, pats each other on the back and everything's wonderful. But the point is no one's satisfied. That's why people then reject this and then become hippies and other strange and wonderful things. Does that make sense? Because there's no satisfaction. That's why there's always the ones that do something different. Right? You know, they're sitting down at some cafe with their beret on and you know, drinking their coffee and talking all kinds of philosophy that's anti-establishment. At the point, if the establishment wasn't there, there wouldn't be a peaceful street that you could have a cafe sitting out on the sidewalk. Right? You know, and you wouldn't have, you know, import laws because that local country doesn't grow the coffee. Right? So you'd have to import it from somewhere else, you know, and all these different things like that. So it's only because of the incident.
You can wear a beret.
Get it. Yeah, you could do the beret part. but you know, you'd have, I don't know what you'd end up drinking, I guess.
Red wine.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, you could do that, yeah. As long as you're in the South, otherwise North would have to have been imported also. You know, so yeah, so you understand. So even though there's certain aspects, the shallowness of it, they're feeling dissatisfied with. And factually, they can feel dissatisfied. But to think that the form of it is the cause of dissatisfaction, that's the mistake. So that's why when they make some adjustment, and then it ends up just the same, right? If you thought there was a problem with Louis, then you have Napoleon. You know what I'm saying? Or if you thought there was a problem with the Tsar, hey, there's always Stalin. You know, right? An improvement, right? Yeah, yeah. You know, so like that, you always have these guys. You know? So that's the difficulty, is that it's always going to end up, it doesn't solve the problem, because the problem is not the form, the problem is the consciousness. So you have to change the consciousness, leave the form intact. That's Krishna's point. Perform your duties, now change your consciousness, become God conscious. Right? This is the point. So here, so sahaj or natural, used in this connection, indicates the imperfect human nature. Right? So that's what you're dealing with. A man's sense activities are faulty due to his birth and matter. But he should learn that his real origin is Krishna, and he should engage his senses in the Lord's service. Right? So if you're coming from Krishna, everybody else is coming from Krishna. So in other words, our duty is to do everything for Krishna. And since our duty is interacting with others, we're doing that to please Krishna. Right, so we're connecting ourselves and our activities and everybody else to Krishna. Then it becomes very nice. Then it's a complete culture. Because the point is, you can say, no, but isn't that kind of artificial? Isn't that kind of external? But the point is how is it you being the center of the universe isn't external for everybody else? You know what I'm saying? There's going to have to be a center, right? That's how we work it. We can say, no, but it's so different. No, it's not exactly what you're doing now. We take ourselves, we're the center of the universe, and so we perform all our activities, and everything's supposed to, I am myself, and I do everything for myself, and so my interaction with everybody else is for myself, right? And so therefore, everybody else should cooperate with that, right? You're supposed to cooperate with the center, right? But then that becomes a problem, because everybody thinks of the center. So if Krishna's the center, then it makes it very easy, because then everybody is doing everything connected to him. So the same activity, same interaction goes on, but now Krishna being the center, it becomes spiritual, and therefore you get that satisfaction. Well, the other, then everybody's doing it for themselves, and it's always going to be a problem. Right? So if we think that the elements of how you say it, means, of course, if we're absorbed simply anamoy, that it's simply for ourselves, it may not make so much sense, this. But if one is elevated oneself to the point of selfless sense gratification, then there's the idea I'm supposed to give. But then if I give selflessly, everyone else gives selflessly, then ultimately, where is the point of why should you do anything? Why are you making all these things? It's who's enjoying it anyway. If it's all for sense gratification, who's enjoying the sense gratification? It's everything so selfless. Right? But the point is here, so therefore at some point that selflessness, by following its own philosophy, ends up being dry and doing nothing. Right? So the point is that it can be totally selfless because it's being done to please the Lord and the devotees. And you get that full satisfaction you're looking for. Right? So it's what society, so-called improved society, is looking for. but can't actually get. But he should learn that his real origin as Krishna is engaged the senses in the Lord's service. Then he can transcend the faults of his material conditioning and attain perfection. Quote, liberation is never inaction, but service without human mistakes. That's liberation. Human mistakes are I'm doing it for myself. Right? Because the mode of ignorance and everything. So liberation is service without human mistakes. That means it has to be selfless. Right? That's the whole point. But that selfless means it has to be connected to the Supreme. Otherwise, even if selfless, still the senses are imperfect. There's still the tendency to cheat. There's still illusion. Right? That's the last one.
Imperfect senses.
Okay. Cheating. No, we mentioned cheating.
Imperfect senses.
Imperfect senses. Didn't we say that? Imperfect senses, cheating, illusions.
Mistakes.
That's it. Okay. So there's going to be that. But the point is, if it's being done for the Lord, even when we make mistakes, still the intent is that we try to improve it. The senses are imperfect, we do our best with it. Right? Does that make sense?
Mm.
Yeah, so this way then you can purify all these. Then one is able to be liberated. Right? That's the liberated platform, when one is engaged in the Lord's service.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But the focus is not on being liberated. Right? The focus is on pleasing the Lord. Does that make sense? Because if you focus on it, a goal, when you get there, how are you going to maintain the liberated platform? Because what's the point of doing it? So the thing is so therefore, to maintain it, you have to always be serving the Lord. And so the taste from service of the Lord is so much greater than liberation. So once one even gets to the liberated platform, one will find that the taste for the two is so different. Does that make sense? So one will naturally, you can't keep liberation as a goal. Right? It's only in the process, it ends up as a byproduct. Right? The other sense of the word is found in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 8215. So in other words, human mistakes is the one definition of sahaj. Right? So then it's just the material condition, material nature. So only by giving that up, then you can actually be transcendental. So the other is given in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Okay. Sahaja gopira prema nahe prakrita kama krida kamyatara kama nama. It is to be noted that the natural characteristic of the gopis is to love the Supreme Lord. The lusty desire is not to be compared to material lust. Nonetheless, because their desire sometimes appears to resemble material lust, their transcendental love for Krishna is sometimes described as lust. So here, the context is clear. Sahaj refers to the spiritual nature. Right? So in other words, it's the nature of the position. Right, so here it's spiritual, so then that's based on their transcendental consciousness, so therefore they have the form. So the nature of how they deal with that form or express their consciousness through that form, that's the nature. So that's sahaj. Right? In the material world, the material consciousness is there, and that creates the material conditioning, and that's through which the material conditioning is how you express your material consciousness. You understand? So in other words, there's these two definitions of sahaj. Yes.
That same definition was there in the Tattva Vivek when he was saying natural knowledge. It's the natural that's born of the soul.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Not natural of the conditioning.
Yeah.
Yes.
So would you say one is the original one, one is the reflection in the material world?
Like yes. Yes. The principle is the same. Is that based on your consciousness, you have a form. So because Mother Yashoda sees Krishna through that love of as the child, therefore she has the form of a mother to be able to express that. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Right? So in the material world, you're the conscious, so there is conscious of servant. So what kind of servant? Right? The principle is servant, then the detail is what kind of servant. All Braj Basis are servants, then what kind of service servant makes the specific form and therefore the specific duties, right, through which to express that, right? So now within the material world, the material consciousness is there, so I am the controller and enjoyer is the general principle, right? So in the material world, everybody's got that, right? Now, having that, now it's a matter of, now they have the specifics of what kind of a form they have to express that. Does that make sense? Right? So, you know, they want to be the big controller of the universe, so then they're the demigods. They control the universe. They want to think they're the big controller of the universe, and there's some, you know, schmo down in the corner who, you know, talks so many things and this and that. You know, whatever it is, but he has... The principle is the same. Your consciousness is there, so there's the generic and then there's the specific. Generic, controller, and enjoy is specific. I have this kind of body, I'm in this situation, I enjoy in this way. Does that make sense? Yeah. So all it is so that's the reflection. It means one has to be very careful understanding that. So now, what is the point? The point is you're supposed to, you engage your nature in Krishna's service, right? So if your nature happens to be conditioned, so the point is engage it in Krishna's service. That's what they do in the spiritual world, right? In the material world, they engage it in their own service. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the idea, is that you're doing the same principle. So in other words, the reflection, you're using it properly. It's not that, in the spiritual world they do this, so we can do this. But, you know, I'm doing it for my sense gratification. No, the point is it your duty? Right? And so, therefore, you're supposed to do that duty to please Krishna. Does that make sense?
And you do it through the medium of your own conditioned nature.
Yes, you do it through the medium of your own conditioned nature. The point is you're using your nature. There it's spiritual, here it's conditioned. But the point is you're engaging your nature in Krishna's service. So that's why it doesn't matter what it is. It just happens to be this now. You know, it wasn't last life, it won't be next life. But it happens to be this now. So, you know, so does that make sense? So you play that part. We make it, but so that's why equality is not on the external. Equality is everybody has a right to perform their duty. That's equal. You know, because otherwise, if nobody's the street sweeper, then you have a pretty dirty street. So, you know, or if everybody has to be the street sweeper, you know what I'm saying?
The external is always different, so you can't be
seen. Yeah, so it doesn't work. You know, in Russia, it was everybody's the street sweeper. In America, nobody's the street sweeper. So then, you know, how is this going to work? You understand? It's that you do your duty, then that fits in society. You can say, well, this, that, but the point is it's your consciousness, that's where you are. You know? So the point is, in the spiritual world, it's by spiritual consciousness, they have their position. You know? You know, somebody's got to manage Vrindavan, so Nanda Baba's doing that. Not that everybody should manage Vrindavan, or nobody should manage Vrindavan. You know what I'm saying? So he manages Vrindavan. Does that make sense? You know, so everybody has their position to play, their role to play. So that's the thing. It's just a medium to express that to Krishna. So one doesn't have to change. So this idea is, no, make it equal for everybody, equal spiritual opportunity. Equal spiritual opportunity means performing your duty.
So yes. Then one just has to understand one's own conditioned nature and then...
Yes, and then engage it. Let's say we're having a festival, okay? Now, you're going to really get down to detail and really run it nicely, manage the festival nicely. So nobody's managing it. It just happens spontaneously because all the devotees are so wonderful, right? No, there's a lot of people managing it. So now if those managers think, well, why can't we enjoy the festival? Why do we have to manage it? Why can't we enjoy it? You know, where's the equality here? Is there a festival? Yeah, so that's the whole point. So now, just like we said before, they when the festival starts and they just take part in it, and then the management stops, how much does everybody enjoy it? Not much.
Because the duty is not performed.
The duty is not performed. So that's what modern society is. That's why no one gets much taste out of anything, because who's doing the duty? You know what I'm saying? You know, you go to Horn and Hard Art. Okay, of course, it's less expensive. You know, it's you know, their motto is you can't eat atmosphere, right? So you have a room that's just vending machines and places to sit, right? So there's no waiters, there's no nothing there. You just go in, sit, you know, go over, get what you want, sit down and eat, and then leave. Right? They still have those places? Never heard of Horton Hart? Right. I think it originally comes from P.D.Q. Bach. Never heard of P.D.Q. Bach? Never heard of P.D.Q. Bach? Very interesting.
They went out of business.
No, P.D.Q. Bach is still going on.
Same format.
Yeah, it means you have, you know, a music stand. Okay, and they have the legs, and they have the three sections, right? Mm-hmm. So you turn it upside down. You unlock the sections so they're movable, right? Then you know you shorten it all the way up. Then you stick an oboe reed into the bottom. Okay? Then you blow on the oboe reed, and then you use the slide to adjust the tone. So that's one of the classical instruments. Right. And then horn and hard art is you have a French horn, and you have some guy playing the vending machine. You know, so at the proper times, put coins in, and you get the sounds, and that along with the horn.
You introduce in kirtan.
Yes, it's like the 1812 overture, you know, you have the cannons playing at the right place, everything like that.
Yeah, it'd be like putting a jukebox in the temple.
Yeah. It's all your favorites. Yeah, it'd be interesting.
Mongolarty.
I'm 45, so I don't know. Yeah, okay. The context is clear. Sahaj means refers to the spiritual nature. Another point of interest in this verse is the word prakrita, material, which is used to distinguish kama or lust from the gopi's love for Krishna. Right? So in other words, it's showing that there's two. There's the original and then the reflection. We can conclude that when prakrita is combined with sahaj, transcendental sensual affairs are not indicated. That's why they're called prakrita sahajyas. Okay? In other words, sahaj just means nature. So that could be spiritual or material. But when we say prakrita, that means material. So prakrita sahaj means prakrita nature.
Yes.
Transcendental sensual. Okay. We can also conclude that a person subject to material lust has no chance to comprehend the gopi's spiritual emotions, because it's not about themselves. He must first follow Lord Krishna's prescription and rise above his imperfect condition. Right? Okay? Does this make sense here? So in other words, they're taking their conditioned nature and trying to use that to serve Krishna, like the gopis do. Right? But the point is, the gopis are transcendental and spiritual forms, and here you have material forms that are not so transcendental. But they're trying to do the same activities that way rather than what are your duties. You know what I'm saying? The gopis' duties is the young girls and that, and so they, you know, run around and make arrangements to be with Krishna. Right? That's natural. That's the duties. But around here, that's not what it is. You have your duties. You perform the duties according to what the Varnashram system gives. Or if you've transcended that, then you're going to perform your activities just of hearing and chanting, and that's all. You won't be any other activities. Does that make sense? This is what hits at the heart of the prakriti sahajya contamination. They refuse to follow the reformatory process, right? Because it's all about bhava, it's not about vaidhi, because vaidhi is a reformatory process. Thus, their perceptions of Krishna, Krishna's devotees, Krishna's service, and love of Krishna are faulty creations of their lower nature. right? They won't take up Vaidhi. They make up their own. So they try to act as if they're Paramahamsas, but they perform all materialistic activities, right? So in other words, Vaidhi is there in the middle, right? And so they're in their mood to be so-called transcendental, they're actually performing material activities that are on the other side of Vaidhi. Vaidhi is a reformatory process that brings you to the transcendental. They artificially take the transcendental position, and therefore they'll perform material activities. Mm-hmm. Right? Because the only way to get a rise above material activities is the reformatory activities of Vaidhi Sadhana. Does that make sense? Right. Without serving Krishna, according to Vaidhi Marg, okay, this is from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Without serving Krishna according to Vaidhi Marg, regulative principles of the Pancharatrika Vidhi, unscrupulous persons want to jump immediately to the Rag Marg principles. Such persons are called Sahajiyas. Srimad Bhagavatam 4.24.456 purport. They sometimes say that one enters Rag Marg only by the causeless grace of Bhakti Devi and not by a vain attempt to conquer sensual disturbances. Right? They'll say, you know, they're using the element that bhakti is coming from bhakti. So it's not by my endeavor I'll get it. It's only by the grace of Bhakti Devi I'll get it. So I don't need to follow the rules to please Bhakti Devi because it's only a matter of her giving it. Mm. You know? But how is that going to work? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so it's kind of like the same principle as the karma mimamsa. There's no, I work, so therefore I deserve it. No, you can't work to get it, therefore I don't need to work. You know what I'm saying? Same kind of weakness. So therefore, they'll be materialistic. You know, it's just the inverse of the karma. But Srila Prabhupada says, when a devotee strictly follows the rules and regulations, Bhakti Devi becomes very much satisfied with him. And at that time, he is never disturbed by anything external. Srimad Bhagavatam 4.24.59 purport. Such an advanced devotee has nothing to do with the Sahajiyas, who manufacture their own whimsical way and commit sins by indulging in illicit sex, intoxication, and gambling, if not meat eating. Right? It means officially they're not supposed to be engaged in meat eating, but it doesn't mean it doesn't happen. Right? No. Like that. But the illicit sex, intoxication, these kind, that's pretty standard. Like that. So whimsical way. So that means it's the mode of ignorance, because means that transcendence, you know, it means following what you're supposed to do. Goodness means doing what you're supposed to do. Transcendence, doing what you're supposed to do to please Krishna. So they're making up their own path. So how is that going to be pleasing to Krishna? You engage the mode of goodness in Krishna's service. The mode of ignorance, how that will be engaged. Right? Because it's not even being that you're taking the mode of ignorance and engaging it according to authority. Right? It's not like you're supposed to offer flowers to Krishna, and so therefore you happen to be walking by the cemetery, you know, because devotees walk by the cemetery early in the morning, right? Everybody else is asleep, you know, so you're on the way to the temple for Mangalartik, and there happens to be a nice wreath there and some other flowers there that they left there, and, you know, the dead person really doesn't care. They're actually quite dead, you know, so hey, let's take them to Krishna. So that's, you know, the point is that's not because they're contaminated, but so one's engaged. And that element of tamasic in Krishna's service. But when one learns that, oh, they're actually impure, not really offerable, then one stops that. And then now one looks at the old lady's flowers on the way to the temple. You know what I'm saying? Right? So you move it up. Move it up a step, right? You know. Does that make sense? Yeah. According to Dr. S. B. Das Gupta, the history of the Bengali Sahajiya movement can be traced back long before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance to the reign of the Buddhist Pala royal dynasty, circa 700-110 AD. Right? So this is be an interesting thing to note, is that that's the one thing, is this kind of like the Vaishnavism, it has this elements of Buddhism. Mm. It's basically unknown, just like the Mayavadis don't know that they're professing Buddhist philosophy, right? Because they're using Vedic terms, and quoting from Vedic shastras rather than Buddhist terms, quoting from Buddhist shastra. But otherwise, it's the same thing. So even here, the sahajas don't even know that much of it has the Buddhist element. Okay, so this is 700 to 1100 AD. 400 years. Huh? When a secret cult of the name Sahajayana, because you have Mahayana, what is it?
Theravada,
but there's also Mahayana and there's another Yana.
Hinayana.
Right? So here you have Sahajayana, right? But it was a secret sect. Yes. No one even knew about it. Arose within the so-called diamond vehicle, Vajrayana, school of Buddhism. Vajrayana, still prominent today in Nepal and Tibet, is a blend of ritualistic Tantra yoga and Shunyavad. Right, so that's it has the tantric aspect more than other ones like that, because the Nepalin and Tibetan, then there's more of that. So within that school, then there was a branch, Sahajayana. Some scholars think that a Vajrayana was created in Bengal, a stronghold of the tantric Kapalika religion, when the first Buddhist missionaries arrived, because that's where they got the tantric from. Because you start, you know, outside of Bengal, there's not so much tantra. But when they came into Bengal to preach, then it got mixed with the tantric, because they were very impressed by the tantric's, you know, abilities. From Bengal, so the theory goes, Vajrayana spread to the Himalayan regions. Anyway, whenever the birthplace of Vajrayana was, it is certain that the fermentation of Vajrayana into Sahajayana, the easy vehicle, was according to an original Bengali recipe. Right? Because they're good cooks, Bengalis. Right? So they somehow now they're, you know, turned cooked. You know, it's just like what we say when the accountants, at the end of the year, then they get the accounts, they cook the accounts and make them into something presentable to the authorities who want to see them. You know, because, you know, somebody didn't bring a receipt, didn't bring this, that, things don't add up. You know, the receipts for, you know, so much, but what's in the book is only so much, they don't match, so you have to cook, right? So the Bengalis took the Buddhist philosophy and they cooked it, right?
Cooked the books.
Yeah, they cooked the books, so they ended up with a Vajrayana. And then having done that, they cooked it further and came up with Sahajayana, right? So.
Still half baked.
Yeah, well, that's not after this, but still, cooking's going on. Right? Yeah, like that. Unless you're into raw, right? You know, then that's another.
Oh yeah, well, never been baked.
No. What do you mean? Cows like it. What are you talking about? Person likes cows. Cows eat raw. Hey, come on. Don't see the connection here.
Cows are mode of goodness.
Cows in the mode of goodness. Yeah, come on.
Okay, I'll try it.
Yeah. Yes. I think at 9 o'clock to feed the cows. Enjoy and see what happens.
Right. And raw halibut. But it's crunchy.
Yeah, you just have your bucket.
Yeah.
Like that. You just put all the things. You just put the semolina, pour in the water,
yeah.
Let it soak.
Oh,
right? Yeah,
I
let
can
it
do
soak
that.
For a while. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Having soaked. Then pour in the butter and pour in the sugar.
Yeah.
Then mix it up. Mm-hmm. Right,
yeah.
No?
Probably be better if you put sugar in the water first.
But then the grains won't soak very well. Like that. You'd have to leave it again for a while. You can maybe put the sugar in, then mix it, and then leave it, and then mix it a few times till it's melted nicely and soaked in. Then put the ghee.
You probably need 4 stomachs to digest it, though.
Yeah, then the problem comes is if you put the ghee in cold, if you can heat it, but then you're not supposed to heat, you know, unless there's a rule how much you can heat it, you know, just like that. You'd have to check.
Even in the sun.
Yeah, oh yeah, put it out in the sun. Yeah, that's good. They see here, this guy. Sahajayana Buddhists abandoned ritualism and study of scriptures as useless. Okay, now we're seeing the connection here. Right? They practice yoga, quote unquote, yoga of sex, in which they visualize consciousness as being composed of the unity of the male and female principles, sometimes called upaya and pragya, or karuna and shunyata. The Sahajayan Buddhist wrote many songs known as the Charyapadas that express their philosophy in mysterious language. Okay, so you have the male and female principle, but the point is it's based on the duties, because here they've given up the ritualism and the scriptures. So the point is those two are combined in there. It's just like what being in the situation. What do you have? You have bala and you have jnana, right? That's sankarshan, right? So bala is the masculine, jnana is the feminine. So with that knowledge, you're applying it. Right, so you're taking the knowledge, the feminine, applying it through your strength, you know, your endeavor as the masculine. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So here, the knowledge, feminine, and the ritualism, the masculine, in this case. Mm-hmm. That's where the masculine and feminine is. Mm-hmm. Right? Because masculine and feminine is in everything. Mm-hmm. Why just only in the sexual things? Right? Of course, it may be more interesting in the sexual things than, you know, in the pillar or something like that. Walking around and seeing everything is Brahman. Okay, it may be more interesting. But the point is it's not what the actual point is. So to drop the scriptures and therefore then to make up your own system, then that's, you know, like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the Sahajayana. Later on, under the Sena kings, Vaishnavism became ascendant in Bengal, royal patronage having been won for it by the great Acharya Srila Jayadeva Goswami. Now the Buddhist Sahajiyas absorbed and perverted aspects of Vaishnava philosophy. So they're already doing their own thing. It's a matter of that they don't follow the actual tenets of the religion anyway. They make up their own, so now everyone's becoming Vaishnava. They're just absorbing that. Right? Does that make sense? So it's something that's already been going on. It's already someone who doesn't follow the rules makes up their own system. Right? But we see the other, the basically your main, more respected six systems, they follow the Shastra. They have their ritual. They have everything like that. They have their system. But still, it's a speculative interpretation on the Shastra. Here, they've dropped the Shastra. They just make it up.
Right.
So therefore, it's yeah.
Yes. It's interesting because, like you were saying, there's the mundane materialist who get a sinful reaction, but these people would latch on to some kind of religion and make up a new philosophy based on it. So
yeah.
The reaction will be even more.
Yeah, because then you in other words, they still ritualize it, but they create their own rituals.
Yeah.
You know, that's the problem. They ritualize sense gratification. So then, in ritualizing sense gratification, it makes it seem like it's religious. So then persons who can get innocent, they get bewildered, mm-hmm. right? Because it seems like it's religion, but it's not. Okay. They renamed their upaya and pragya principles Krishna and Radha, imagining Radha Krishna to represent the highest state of bliss attained by men and women on the Sahajiya path. Right. So in other words, the upaya and the pragya, so the masculine and feminine principle that they were using in their yoga of sex, right? Now has turned into, they've simply replaced it from the Buddhistic concept, right? Because then you have, what do you have in the Buddhistic things? You see in the Tibetanism, then you have time, which means activity, and then next to what are the other two deities? We don't know. Okay, then you have the masculine principle, and then you have the feminine. So basically Shiva and Parvati, and time. So then time means is the activity that brings Shiva and Parvati together. Does that make sense? So then in here, they've just dropped all the rituals and that is being done on a more philosophical platform, and dropped it down to the sensual platform. Does that make sense? So now all it is now Shiva and Parvati are replaced with, or you know, upaya and pragya, right? It means if Shiva and Parvati, because if you ask them who they are and what they do, you know Shiva, but they don't call them Shiva and Parvati, they call them upaya and pragya. Then it becomes Radha and Krishna. So then this is the highest, because okay, that's there, but higher than that, because of Vaishnavism, they understand where the Buddhism is, and then how that comes into the Vedic, and then of the Vedic, then Radha and Krishna are the top. You see what's happened there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, we're over time. So now we get into it. Then this is not only that. Now we add in, next thing is we'll add in some Sufis, you know, some Muslim elements also. Come on, you can't have just, you know, I've said, Bengalis are good at cooking here. Bring it all in, blend it all up, right, yeah. So, you know what I'm saying?
And I suppose the Christianity comes also there then.
Jewish, in some point.
No, I don't think that comes in here. Like that.
Maybe the later stage.
No, it's just a matter of what's blended. Because you also get the, means the Muslim with Vaishnav, you also get the Daravesh. So it looks more like Muslim. You know? Like that. Well, here it looks more like Vaishnavism. Like what this calls the cause? The Druze. I think that's kind of that would be Christianity and Vaishnavism. So you got what you were looking for.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki,
Jai
Nitai Gaurabhima. This is good fun.
It gets better.
Yeah, well, I'm worried about how much better it gets. Because as we were saying, the other one, at least they're pious, it's just that their consciousness is totally bogus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but here it's just, you know, they're just top to bottom bogus. There's not necessarily a pious bone in their body. Mm.